WHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our 7-county listening area in central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host, Paul Wearson. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Susan, and happy after Christmas.
Yes, December 26th is a big celebration in many countries with different names and different traditions. I thought it would be fun to explore some of those today.
Well, that sounds like a good idea to me because you'll be educating me as well as our radio audience.
Actually, the first part of our program is from our archives when Greta Anderson was a regular producer on Local Talk, as were Kay Puttock and Deborah Bunka. Both are from the British Commonwealth, where they celebrated Boxing Day on December 26th. To tell us about the special foods and crackers for the day, they brought in Marcus Johnson, then owner of Ames British Foods, just across the street from the Pantorium. In intervening years, he has become the proprietor of Mucky Duck, a very successful pub located on South Duff. I'm not sure that he's still stocking the pickles and crackers described in this show. I guess you'll just have to stop in today and find out. Actually, the first part of our program is from our archives when Greta Anderson was a regular producer on Local Talk, as were Kay Puttock and Deborah Bunka. Both are from the British Commonwealth, where they celebrated Boxing Day on December 26th. To tell us about the special foods and crackers for the day, they brought in Marcus Johnson, then owner of Ames British Foods, just across the street from the Pantorium. In intervening years, he has become the proprietor of Mucky Duck, a very successful pub located on South Duff. I'm not sure that he's still stocking all the pickles and crackers described in this show. I guess you'll just have to stop in today and find out.
This is Greta Anderson from Local Talk on KHOI. The topic of this segment is Boxing Day, which is celebrated in Britain and the British Commonwealth on December 26th, the day after Christmas. With me today in the studio are two members of the KHOI reporting staff, Kay Puttock and Deborah Bunka. Kay is from Britain. What part of Britain?
Well, from London, and most of my relatives that are still around live in Kent. It's the southern part of England, London and Kent.
Great. And Deb is from Canada. What part?
Originally from Saskatchewan, but I've lived pretty much across Canada as I moved along following my husband doing his degrees in research and moved to Iowa from Montreal 15 years ago.
Okay, well, thank you for coming in and agreeing to be in the hot seat of the studio. How did you celebrate Boxing Day in your respective homes?
Well, I've just been talking to Marcus of British Foods about this, but basically it's a day that I really missed when I came to America. I felt I had to have a party on Boxing Day because always in England's 2 days holiday of Christmas, and of course originally it used to be 12 days of Christmas. But it was a day that we ate cold turkey, lots of pickles, and in our house we always had Christmas cake, too.
Is that like fruit cake?
Yeah, rich fruit cake. It was usually frosted with like a snow scene and snowmen. I love fruit cake. I know people make rude remarks about fruit cake, okay, but I love it. In fact, our wedding cakes are fruit cakes, too, with white frosting.
That mine was as well.
Yes. Really?
Yep, white frosting, that's mm-hmm. right. And don't forget the alcohol.
So you celebrate it with special foods. Deborah?
In Canada, Boxing Day it's hockey because two major hockey tournaments start around that time. So a lot of watching hockey on TV. We also have Boxing Day sales. It's like Black Friday here in the States. So if you want to go out and shop in that day, return stuff, you can do that. But for my own family, when I moved here, I really missed having Boxing Day like Kay. So what we did when we moved to the States, or a little bit before actually, because we moved here from Montreal, and Quebec is the only province in Canada in which they do not recognize Boxing Day. They don't follow the British tradition. That is anathema. So we started our own tradition there of Christmas Day would be the day to open the presents and just assemble things and play games with the kids. And our kids were little then, so it was a fantastic day of just, you know, relaxation and fun. And then Boxing Day would be the day that the kids could do whatever they like, but the adults prepared the Christmas meal and we had guests. And of course, we kept that up when we moved to the States. Mm-hmm. It was kind of nice because people who celebrated Christmas here on the 25th could still come over for dinner, for Christmas dinner at our house, mm-hmm. which we enjoyed.
So I have to ask about the name Boxing Day. Do you put on gloves and duke it out over your present? Or is it of some obscure reference to the Boxers' Rebellion? Or what is this day? Do you put the gifts back in the box and give them to servants? I've heard so many different things.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the first time I remember hearing the term Christmas box, I must have been younger than 9 because we'd moved out of that house by the time I was 9. And there was a ring at the doorbell, and I came downstairs, and there was a man. He looked like a man to me. He was probably an older adolescent. And he said, "Have you got a Christmas box for the paper boy?" And I ran upstairs, and my father was absolutely prepared for this. He came down and obviously gave the paper boy a tip. And that's the first time I'd heard that term, and I became aware then that everyone knew what Christmas box meant. It meant, you know, a tip or a gift for your service people, people that delivered your papers. We had coal fires, delivered the coal.
So he asked for a box.
He asked for a box.
But he got a tip.
He got a tip in an envelope. There's two theories about it. Opening the poor box for the poor on Boxing Day, which actually the 26th of December is what used to be called, and I guess still is called in Catholic countries, the Feast of Stephen, St. Stephen's Day. Like the carol, you know, Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen. And then in that carol, they take food and fuel to the poor man that they see.
Yes.
So this is a traditional day for giving food and fuel and whatever to the poor. And then in great houses, the servants would have the day off on Boxing Day, and they'd often be given a feast by their employers. So both those stories, and they're probably both, you know, both the origin of the term.
It has nothing to do with the Boxers' Rebellion?
Nothing.
No. Nor boxing.
You know, people make jokes, though. You know, we'll have to box one another when we wake up in bed in the morning and this kind of stuff, you know.
Double entendre?
Yeah, a little bit.
But it's a nice day after the hustle and bustle of Christmas if you celebrate it regularly and you've spent all Christmas Day cooking and, you know, as the women tend to do, and working yourself really hard, then the next day you put the leftovers out and it's just a really nice, relaxing family day.
Christmas is like the 2 days, Christmas and Boxing Day. And then, of course, if it comes at a weekend, like if Boxing Day was on a Sunday, this happened at least once that I remember, you'd have Christmas Day, Christmas Sunday, and then Boxing Day would be the Monday. You had to have that extra holiday, which was Boxing Day.
Yeah, I remember a lot of skating on the outdoor rink on Boxing Day. We'd all go out to the skating oval and just spend a couple of hours skating and then come back for a meal. And that was always really nice. I have really good memories. We just continue the Christmas feast, more or less. I just remember lots of nuts and those hard candies. They just come and they all stick together.
Oh, humbugs?
Yes.
Humbugs.
Yeah, I liked those when I was a kid. Those were like Christmas.
Big thing was tea time on Boxing Day. On Christmas Day, it was usually lunch in our house, mm-hmm. you know, late lunch. Round about what we call tea time, you know, was still full. You weren't ready to eat. But on Boxing Day, you'd had cold turkey and pickles for lunch, so you were ready for some Christmas cake, as my dad used to say, lashings of hot tea. Lashings of hot tea, which meant gallons of hot tea at tea time. And little sandwiches and, you know.
Little sort of squares of fruitcake, I remember. Uh-huh. Fruitcake's very big. I mean, my mom used to spend so much time making fruitcake around the holidays. You can't imagine. Yeah. It was a huge production.
Yeah, and then, of course, Christmas pudding or plum pudding, that's like a hot fruitcake, really. Do you eat that in Canada?
Yeah, absolutely. Did you light yours on fire?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a kind of like a midway between a pudding and a...
Well, you know, it's the big scene in A Christmas Carol, you know, when they eat that giant goose, then they bring in the pudding, iron water pudding, and it's in flames.
Yeah.
How do we go with the whole thing? All ye wealth or rank possessing, all of you who bless the poor shall yourselves find blessing. That's how it's something like that.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it is beautiful.
Good King Wenceslas looked down on the feast of Stephen when the snow lay round about deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone.
Listening to KHOI's Local Talk. The topic of this half hour is the British holiday of Boxing Day, which takes place on the day of St. Stephen, directly after Christmas. Here's Kay Puddock's conversation with Marcus Johnson, owner of Ames British Foods, on the topic.
I'm here with Marcus Johnson, owner of Ames British Foods. Welcome, Marcus. Thank you for coming.
Good afternoon, Kay. It's a pleasure to be here.
What we're particularly interested in today is Boxing Day foods and things like Christmas crackers, if you'd like to talk about those and
sure,
how those go in Ames.
Well, I always love talking about food, as you know. It's one of my favourite subjects.
Okay, and how about Christmas crackers? How can we explain Christmas crackers to people that don't know what they are?
Not edible at all. That always catches people out. It's quite hilarious. We have a huge selection of crackers in the store, and I had someone in just the other day that was actually paying for them before he realized that they were not edible.
Well, we better explain what crackers are. They're things that you use almost like table decorations that you put by the place setting on the table.
Yep.
And they're called crackers because two people, each person grabs one and then you pull them and hopefully if things go right, there's a cracking sound because there's a little tiny bit of gunpowder.
There's actually some gunpowder in there, yep.
And then various treats fall out when the cracker bursts.
Yep. Quite right.
And what always falls out is, however cheap the crackers are, there's always a paper hat, or as we call it, it's like a little paper crown. Everyone wears them without embarrassment.
Yep.
Everyone wears their paper hat. There's always usually a riddle and a paper hat, at least.
Yeah, there's a joke, and no matter how much you pay for the crackers, the joke is always terrible. Just appalling. But that comes in every cracker. The paper hat is in all crackers. They never fit me. They always split. And a gift, some sort of trinket. Now, there's crackers that are specifically designed for kids, and they have little kids' toys in. Uh-huh. And then there's family ones that have a mixture. And then there's the higher-end ones. And we have some of our more expensive ones. This will probably sound odd, but they have things like metal nail clippers and combs and magnifying glasses. And just, it's kind of, we have some really unique ones this year. We have two varieties of musical crackers. One box of crackers that contain mini handbells, and you can actually create a handbell choir around the Christmas dinner table. Then there's a slight variant in that which consists of whistles instead of bells, so you can create a little whistle choir at the Christmas dinner table.
Okay, what I particularly wanted to talk to you about today, though, is Boxing Day, because that's something
Boxing
else
Day.
That Americans don't know about.
No.
And I wondered if you, when you first came here and you first realized you were going to be here for a few Christmases, whether you missed Boxing Day.
To us, Boxing Day was just another day to kind of relax after the hustle and bustle of Christmas. And I really miss it as well. It seems that having to go back to work on the day after Christmas seems too soon.
Yeah. You know, now, did you eat special foods in your house on Boxing Day?
We ate leftover turkey.
Right.
Yes.
And, of course, accompanied by all sorts of pickles, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, one of our more unique products in the store is something called Branston Pickle. And it's basically a chunky chopped up vegetables, including rutabaga and some other things, in a brown, tangy sauce. And it just so happens it goes really well with cold turkey.
Yeah, it's sort of crunchy.
It's sort of kind of crunchy, and tangy. And it goes really well in the turkey sandwich. So I always push it at Thanksgiving, actually, because that's when Americans eat a lot of turkey. I push to Branson, hey, you need to get some of this for that leftover turkey that you're going to have. I think generally when people try it over here, they really like it.
It's very good.
It's very good. And it's one of those few things that there's absolutely no equivalent over here. You know, so a lot of our foods, there are sort of equivalents, but there's nothing like Branston Pickle.
No, there isn't.
No, and it's one of my favorite things, actually. If I didn't have the food store, it's the one thing I would buy somewhere else, mm-hmm. online or whatever.
Now, I'm not sure if you have them in the store, but something we used to have a lot in my family was mustard pickles. You don't see those here either.
No, we didn't have those.
You didn't have those.
No.
And you had Bubble and Squeak.
Bubble and Squeak, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Maybe we should explain what Bubble and Squeak is.
Okay, yeah. Bubble and Squeak is what one does with the leftover vegetables. And so
potatoes.
And potatoes, yes, of course, potatoes. Those are basically just fried in a skillet, kind of like a mashed potato, or you can make them into patties as well, and just eaten as a side. I happen to be a little bit of a heathen and really like tomato ketchup with my Bubble and Squeak, which used to drive my mum crazy, but it just goes really well with Bubble and Squeak. So
now, pickled onions is something we always had with the turkey, and I had a lot of cousins, and most of them seemed to be boys, and most of them were older than me, because on Boxing Day they'd be tugging into these huge pickled onions with their cold turkey and saying, I love Boxing Day. And I'm sure a lot of it was those pickled onions.
Yeah.
Which you have different sizes and different strengths, I believe.
There's extra strong pickled onions. The main difference between our pickled onions and the ones that are available over here is they're pickled in more of a malt vinegar, so they're darker, and they're bigger onions. You can get the silver skin onions, the little silver skin onions over here that are just pickled in white vinegar. But what I think people really like, what I really love, is the larger.
Right, that's something I really miss too, actually, is pickled onions. I love those.
Well, you should mention the other pickled things we were talking about earlier, because those are so
Oh, pickled walnuts.
Unique.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. I noticed these, and I read a lot of old recipes, and I was excited because I'd never actually seen pickled walnuts before. Mm-hmm. But I'd read about them in old recipes, and so I was excited to see them. And you have them in your store?
We have them in the store, yeah. And most people are just very intrigued by them. They don't buy them. They're extremely expensive, actually. But people are very intrigued by them. It's a rather unusual concept.
As I say, all these old recipes, and I'm going to try something called Wow Wow Sauce, which is apparently an old traditional sauce to go with Bubble and Squeak, and it has pickled walnuts in it. Yeah, I mean, that's what you say when you eat it.
Wow.
Apparently, because it's pretty hot, and it's got mustard in, English strong mustard, and a lot of Worcestershire sauce and pickled walnuts. Did you have in your family or, you know, amongst your neighbours where you lived, special activities you did on Boxing Day?
We weren't big into sports, so what we would do is go for hikes. And a lot of British people do that, especially on Christmas Day after lunch or Boxing Day, especially if the weather's nice, you'd go for a hike.
Right.
And, you know, it's remarkable. When last time I was home, actually, I noticed there's so many people out hiking, you know,
right,
which you just don't see over here.
That's true. And, in fact, my sister's village, they have a Boxing Day hike, like the village.
Oh, really?
The whole village gets together.
Yeah.
And they go on a hike that's sort of pre-planned, and they usually go back to someone's house, or if there's a big group in several people's houses, or to the pub for snacks afterwards.
Right.
After the hike.
Yeah.
So that would be sort of around about tea time, and they finish the hike.
Yeah, it's a big cultural thing.
Yeah, they are.
And of course, everyone has dogs.
The British
are great dog lovers, and so you'll see all these families out with their dogs.
Yeah, and most pubs, you can take your dog into the pub, or in fact, even into hotels and things like that. If people take their dogs everywhere, the dogs tend to be well behaved, socialized.
Yeah, I think so.
They just lie down under your chair and don't bother you. Is there anything we haven't talked about or I haven't asked you that you'd like to talk about, or any final shot you'd like to say about British foods or Boxing Day?
We do enjoy eating to excess on those days, and of course the British enjoy a libation or two, and really Boxing Day is a day to do both those things and to take it easy and to watch an old black and white movie on the TV in the afternoon. And
always an old movie. Yeah.
That's actually one thing I just had forgotten about, actually. The Wizard of Oz. Is it Christmas Day or Boxing Day?
That's interesting. It's a very American thing.
It's a very American film, but it's absolutely ingrained in British tradition now to show that movie on... It's either Christmas Day or Boxing Day. I don't remember. So I told my wife this, and she thought that was the most bizarre thing in the world, and she almost didn't believe me.
Thank you so much, and have a good Boxing Day.
Thank you, Kate.
In case you just tuned in, this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. This is Susan Franzen, together with my co-host Paul Wearson. We've been listening to an interview about Boxing Day that came from our archives, sort of a Boxing Day past, with Greta Anderson interviewing Kay Puttock, Deborah Bunka, and Marcus Johnson, who is now the proprietor of Mucky Duck Pub, and provided even more of the Boxing Day food and atmosphere. The British theme inspired our own Paul Wearson to reminisce about his British aunt. The reminiscences from Paul's aunt led him to recall an outstanding production at the Des Moines Civic Center, Elton John's Billy Elliot the Musical. Here's more from Paul, followed by Electricity from the live score of the musical.
Well, my brother's second wife, Annie, was from Lancashire. She was from the coal fields of Lancashire, St. Helens. town called St. Helens. And, you know, she, of course, had the British tradition of Boxing Day. And I loved Annie. She was, I loved the way she said, squettle. That's a squettle, you know, just various little affectations. And so she talked about some of the customs in England, you know. Of course, she was from a poor family. All her brothers died of black lung, and her father was a veteran of the trenches in World War One. You know, somehow he survived World War One. But his mother, her mother was still alive, and they brought her over here at great expense to share Christmas with us. And she couldn't believe the array of food we had. She was still cooking in a cauldron in a row house, you know. And I remember we bought her a dress, and she was facing a mirror, you know, and was trying the dress on. And I was standing outside the door, and she glanced at me, and she said, touch me not, me name's Temptation. And she was someone who hung out at the pubs, you know. She was just marvelous with that great Cockney accent. And she was sort of a heavyset lady, but she had all kinds of terms that were foreign to us. And she was just delighted to see life in Ames, Iowa, where my brother lived at the time, you know. It was fun to watch her see all the opulence we had. It was a working-class British family like you'd see in that, what is that story about the dancing boy that Elton John wrote? A little 10-year-old boy was doing acrobatic dancing. It was a tremendously demanding role. He's a coal miner's son who dances ballet, okay? And it's about the coal miner strike when Margaret Thatcher was putting the screws to the country. It's very political, and it's a Broadway show. Now, afterwards, they had the boy up there and all these people in a Q&A, and they have to have boys in the pipeline because the boys outgrow the role.
Because their voices change?
Yeah, and also they grow, you know, and you have to be a certain size, and then you have to be tremendously athletic. This boy... was marvelous, you know, and it's a very moving show.
Just one more thing. Can I just ask you, Billy, what does it feel like when you're dancing?
I can't really explain it. I haven't got the words. It's a feeling that you can't control. I suppose it's like forgetting, losing who you are, and at the same time, something makes you whole. It's like that there's music playing in your ear, and I'm listening, and I'm listening, and then I disappear, and then I feel a change, like a fire deep inside. Something bursting me wide open, impossible to hide. And suddenly I'm flying, flying like a bird, like electricity. Electricity sparks inside of me, and I'm free. I'm free. It's a bit like being angry. It's a bit like being scared, confused and all mixed up and mad as hell. It's like when you've been crying and you're empty and you're full. I don't know what it is, it's hard to tell. It's like that there's a music playing in your ear, but the music is impossible, impossible to hear. But then I feel it move me, like a burning deep inside. Something burst in me wide open, impossible to hide. And suddenly I'm flying, flying like a bird, like electricity. Electricity sparks inside of me, and I'm free. I'm free.
Hello.
Before we sign off for today, I'd like to have a brief return to Sweden for Annandag Jul, the way the Swedes celebrate the day after Christmas. We'll begin with the Tomten, a favorite children's book that takes us to a place long ago and far away. Reading the book is Daniel Sterk, who is K. Paddock's son, so we have some second-generation memories from Britain as well as Sweden. Ingrid Andersson is also with us today. She has been our Swedish expert for Lucia on December 13th and on Christmas Eve with the Dancing Around the Christmas Tree songs.
I'm reading this to Tomten. It is the dead of night. The old farm lies fast asleep, and everyone inside the house is sleeping, too. The farm is deep in the middle of the forest. Once upon a time, someone came here, cut down trees, built a homestead, and farmed the land. No one knows who. The stars are shining in the sky tonight. The snow lies white all around. The frost is cruel. On such a night, people creep into their small houses, wrap themselves up, and bank the fire on the hearth. Here is a lonely old farm where everyone is sleeping, all but one. Tomten is awake. He lives in a corner of the hayloft and comes out at night when human beings are asleep. He is an old, old Tomten who has seen the snow of many hundreds of winters. No one knows when he came to the farm. No one has ever even seen him. But they know he is there. Sometimes when they wake up, they see the prints of his feet in the snow. But no one has seen the Tomten. On small, silent feet, the Tomten moves about in the moonlight. He peeps into the cow shed and stable, storehouse and tool shed, goes between the buildings, making tracks in the snow. The Tomten goes first to the cow shed. The cows are dreaming that summer is here, and they are grazing in the fields. The Tomten talks to them in Tomten language, a silent little language the cows can understand. Winters come and winters go, summers come and summers go. Soon you can graze in the fields. The moon is shining into the stable. There stands Dobbin, thinking. Perhaps he remembers a clover field where he trotted around last summer. The Tomten talks to him in Tomten language, a silent little language a horse can understand. Winters come and winters go. Summers come and summers go. Soon you will be in your clover field. Now all the sheep and lambs are sleeping soundly, but they bleat softly when the Tomten peeps in at their door. He talks to them in Tomten language, a silent little language the sheep can understand. All my sheep, all my lambs, the night is cold, but your wool is warm, and you have aspen leaves to eat. Then on small, silent feet, the Tomten goes to the chicken house, and the chickens cluck contentedly when he comes. He talks to them in Tomten language, a silent little language chickens can understand. Lay me an egg, my jolly chickens, and I will give you corn to eat. The dog kennel roof is white with snow, and inside is Caro. Every night he waits for the moment when the Tomten will come. The Tomten is his friend, and he talks to Caro in Tomten language, a silent little language a dog can understand. Caro, my friend, is it cold tonight? Are you cold in your kennel? I'll fetch more straw, and then you can sleep. The house where the people live is silent. They are sleeping through the winter night without knowing that the Tomten is there. Winters come and winters go. I have seen people large and small, but never have they seen me, thinks the Tomten. He tiptoes across to the children's cot and stands looking for a long time. If they would only wake up, then I could talk to them in Tomten language, a silent little language children can understand. But children sleep at night. And away goes the Tomten on his little feet. In the morning the children see his tracks, a line of tiny footprints in the snow. Then the Tomten goes back to his cozy little corner in the hayloft. There, in the hay, the cat is waiting for him, for she wants milk. The Tomten talks to the cat in Tomten language, a silent little language a cat can understand. "Of course, you may stay with me, and of course I will give you milk," says the Tomten. Winter is long and dark and cold, and sometimes the Tomten dreams of summer. Winters come and winters go. Summers come and summers go. Soon the swallows will be here, thinks the Tomten. But the snow still lies in deep drifts around the old farm in the forest. The stars shine in the sky. It is biting cold. On such a night, people creep into their small houses and bank the fire on the hearth. Here is a lonely old farm where everyone is fast asleep, all but one. Winters come and summers go. Year follows year, but as long as people live at the old farm in the forest, every night the Tomten will trip around between the houses on his small silent feet. That is it.
Yeah, our children love that story, mm-hmm. especially a silent little language that children can understand.
Yes. Only children, not grown-ups.
Not grown-ups.
And animals.
And animals, yeah.
And actually, this is a very common symbol in Sweden. This is long before trolls became popular here. The Tomtens mm-hmm. with their little red hats. And we used to mm-hmm. have a table runner that had a row of the little Tomten all together.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think that they were mostly probably individual. I would guess that probably the origin of the Tomten story comes from household gods, because they did things like make the cream turn into butter and mm-hmm. useful things that...
Yes, and they could be punishing the humans too. The people of the farm. If they didn't take good care of the animals, then Tomten got very angry and all kinds of bad things would suddenly start happening. Because Tomten was not just a little, he took care of especially the animals and children, I think.
Well, I think mm-hmm. there must be some people in Iowa who wish that we had Tomten.
Well, yeah. Riemann Gardens has a model of kind of a giant Tomten. I guess mm-hmm. people would call him a gnome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably they'd call him a gnome because he doesn't. For one thing, people have seen him, and mm-hmm. for another thing, he doesn't walk on silent feet.
No.
No. This Tomten was really little, and he lived under the floorboards in the barn.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not mm-hmm. quite the same as this book story.
No, not really, but maybe the same spirit of Tomten, maybe.
Was this farm that you knew about, was that one of your grandparents' farms?
Yes, that was my my mother's mother, Mormor's farm.
And how did you learn about the Tomten?
It was just talked about, like, from we were really little. Tomten and lots of ghost stories when we sat around in the evenings, the grown-ups. Oh. And so you had to take your legs up on the chair because you got so scared. And it really sounded like my Uncle Gunnar, he believed it deeply. And my farfar, my father's father, he also did, and he said seriously. So we kids, we got kind of scared listening, but it was interesting and fascinating too.
So did you ever have the Tomten book when you were little?
Yes, we had not exactly that, but we had other books with those kind of stories and pictures. I don't remember titles exactly, but I can see the cover.
a good culture that knows how to look after things in the natural order.
I wonder if they had Tomtens in Norway.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah, Norway and Sweden.
Denmark and Iceland.
I'll have to ask Paul Wiersen if he knows of any Tomtens in Norway.
That would be interesting to hear. And Iceland, we have some Iceland citizens here in Ames too. Icelandic.
Wow.
Could be interesting.
Well, they would be very, very old Tomtens.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I think we have a Tomten in our house too. We definitely have a ghost.
Here in Ames.
On Douglas, where we live.
Four blocks away from us, you have a Tomten?
Yes, I'm sure. And we have a ghost named Albert is his name. And we just called Tomten Tomten.
Oh.
And we try to take care of the wild animals outside and to not to make him angry with us. And we love animals anyway, so.
So he takes care of the rabbits that come to your garden, right?
Yes, yes. And Walter, too, my husband.
Nice. Gosh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. It's nice to hear stories like that. It's hard. It's becoming more difficult to believe in them in this day and age, but it's
yeah,
it's
we need nice to keep hear. Them. Yeah. We need to keep them alive.
Or, yeah, just put aside some of the other distractions. And,
mm-hmm.
Staffan var en stalledräng
Dit han kom lys och gärna
Han vattnar sina folar fön
Han för den ljusa stjärna Ingen dagens synes vän Stjärnorna på himmelen De blänkar
Femte folen napelgro
Dit han kom lys och gärna
Den rider Staffan själv och på
Han för den ljusa stjärna Ingen dagen synes den Stjärnorna på himmelen De blänkar
Innan solen månd uppgår
Vi tack om nu så gärna
Staffan ut i stallet var
Han för den ljusa stjärna Ingen dagar synes än Stjärnorna på himmelen De blänkar
Nu är eld i varje spis
Vi tack om nu så gärna
Julegryt och julegris
Han för den ljusa stjärna Ingen dagar synes än Stjärnorna på himmelen De blänkar
Nu är jul i varje hus
Vi tack om ljus och gärna
Julegran och juleljus
Han för den ljusa stjärna Ingen dagar synes än Stjärnorna på himmelen De blänkar
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I have been your host for today, Susan Franzen, together with my co-host Paul Wearson. Other voices you heard were Greta Anderson, Kay Puttock, Deborah Bunka, Marcus Johnson, Daniel Sturck, and Ingrid Anderson. You can listen to today's Local Talk show as well as any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That's khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. There are also rebroadcasts of this morning's show at noon and 7 p.m. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard were selections from the Ames Children's Choir from 2012 and the song Electricity by Elton John from the live 2014 DVD of Billy Elliot the Musical. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878 or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us if you decide to become a member or renew your membership today. And Paul Wearson has a couple of ideas for you to think about before we sign off.
It's between Christmas and New Year's that people are giving their final tax-deductible charitable contributions. And presumably they've been thinking about them throughout the month of December because their mailboxes or perhaps their email boxes have been full of reminders of the organizations that they may want to give their charitable contributions to. So this is a good time to just mention that at KHOI, we are also a 501c3 organization. So any contributions that you give to us before December 31st will be taken account of in your 2018 tax return.
Now, that's good news for everybody. Now, I see that reflected in my church. I'm in the church council. And going into December, we're always in a financial crisis, you know, because we're behind. But in December, that's when people do the exact thing you're talking about, to get that last tax-deductible contribution in. And last year, we ended up several thousand dollars in the black, all due to December and this tradition of getting your gift-giving, financial gift-giving to a 501c3, which is a church in this case. We were all panicking and until we saw the December numbers, and then we thought, wow, we'll have to find a way to use this extra money. So that really reflects the great American tradition of tax deductibility and getting your contribution in before the 31st of December. And I encourage everyone to give to KHOI because not only do you want that tax deduction, but you're supporting something that's truly unique, not only in Ames, Iowa, and Story City, but also nationally. There are all kinds of community radio stations like ours, and they're supported by contributions by people who care about a community radio station that's unfettered by corporate pressure or, any of those things that really influence and, from an external point of view, determine what broadcasting content is. So it's a valuable community resource. We do things nobody else does. And so I really encourage people to donate and call. Actually, the website's a good one, khoifm.org. And you just press the yellow donate button, and you do that before December 31st, and you get the deductibility of your contribution. Isn't that magical?
That is magical.
If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.